Self-Scout Week is underway for Ohio State, and that means plenty of personnel conversation for the Buckeyes. No opponent on Saturday, but Ryan Day, Matt Patricia, and Brian Hartline talking on a Tuesday in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. So it's a perfect time for some snap judgments. He's Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin Ward. Out of all of the names that we heard discussed, Burn, what was the most interesting to you?
I mean, we have to start with Bo Jackson, I guess. That's the one thing, the one moving part that I think we all feel there's an inevitability to what's going to happen, but Ryan Day continues to be like, let's not go all the way there yet. And
he pushed back more strongly this week right. after that game than he did a week.
And I think the rationale is pretty simple, which is he's heading into his fourth game as an Ohio State Buckeye. Let's not anoint him anything. Again, this is sort of the recurring theme of this offseason and the early part of the season. Nothing Ryan Day says is an accident. And multiple times today saying, we'll see if he can hold on to the ball. We'll see if he can hold on to the ball. We'll see about ball security. Like, that is clearly intentional. I think the message there is clear. Like, okay, just because you went 9 carries without fumbling doesn't mean that this is solved. But it also is an acknowledgement of, we know it looks different when Bo's on the field, but we have other good running backs. We just don't need to go. We don't need to anoint him, because it doesn't matter, to be perfectly honest. In at least for 8 of Ohio State's 12 regular season games, the starting running back, the RB1, is going to have 9 or 10 carries. There's going to be a couple games, sure, where maybe you see this 18 to 20 carry game, but that's not really the way this offense is going to be built, no matter what. So I think I understand his reluctance to call out too loudly and too proudly that Bo is going to be a future star. But at the same time, you can't, he said, you know, you don't have to be a veteran coach to notice when someone's got talent.
I mean, I don't entirely disagree. I just somewhat disagree. I don't think that Ohio State wants to play 3 running backs. You're right. Like, there's going to be most of these games where you can continue to rotate between James Peoples, C.J. Donaldson, and Bo Jackson. In the talent-equated matchups, you are going to need 2 guys, I think, to take 30 to 35 carries combined. And I don't think that they want to spread that around 3. I don't think that that's – and I also don't think that that's beneficial. There's all this conversation all the time. Running backs need carries to find a rhythm. They need to build into the game and find that chemistry with the offensive line. And I also think that that part is true. So I don't know that they can get to that point with all 3 of them playing a role. Now, maybe they can, and maybe I'm wrong about that. But if it – trying to differentiate that after just 3 games for Bo Jackson and after just this, you know, 18 carries that we're talking about over the last couple of weeks, maybe is premature, especially if they're going to continue to hammer this same coaching point about ball security. As you mentioned, like, that is done intentionally. It is on purpose. It is the coaching point. It is not going back to Dow and Hayden and dancing around what it could be. Maybe it's ball security. Maybe it's pass protection. Ryan Day did name both of those for Bo Jackson, but you know, 9 times out of 10, every conversation that has included Bo has been about protecting the football. And then, you know, I do wonder, what is the amount of reps that he needs to prove on the practice field or in games before that conversation is erased? Because I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know either. And this is snap judgments. This isn't like research judgments, but I don't know how many times a year ago Quinshon Judkins had more than 15 carries in a game. Trevion Henderson was averaging like 10 carries a game last year, maybe 11. This is not, even last year, a team that was built on the run and predicated on being more run first than any Ryan Day team since 2019. Like, that was not, well, one guy's going to get 25 carries. Like, that's not how this is going to go. So whether it's 2 guys, whether it's James Peoples and Bo Jackson, or C.J. Donaldson and James Peoples, or C.J. Donaldson and Bo Jackson, or like, it doesn't really matter. Like, that guy is going to get 12 to 15 carries a week. And if Bo Jackson's that guy, I think it's obviously telling what they think about him, but it's also not going to be like, well, now we're going to give him the ball 30 times and this is the RB1 and no one else can touch the football. Like, this is still an offense that's going to be built around what is best week to week. And that, to me, like, is kind of the takeaway from today's entire press conference, listening to Ryan Day, listening to Matt Patricia, listening to Brian Hartline. I don't think I've ever seen an Ohio State team that was more amorphous than this one. Like, it is Ryan Day talking, well, this week we might do this, this week we might do this. Brian Hartline saying, well, we might throw the ball to Brandon Hartline or Brandon Ennis this week. Next week we might not. It's going to go week to week. We don't know. And then obviously we've seen that with Matt Patricia. And I think that it's an interesting realization or evolution of the sport, but you don't have to be one thing all the time. You don't have to be a four down team.
Like, it makes you easier to stop if you are.
You can do anything you want when you have 90 players on your roster. And that's, I asked Matt Patricia, and I wonder if we see down the road, like basically Ohio State having three different defenses. Like, here's our 3-4, here's our 4-3, here's our, like,
I feel like we've already seen
but no one's done that before. Like, they've just been content going, well, we got four down and this is the way it has to go, we have to play three linebacker, and like,
yeah,
why? Like, you get the pick of the litter around the country of the best players in the nation, and why not just every week say, okay, well, this team can't stop the run, so guess what, we're gonna run the ball this week. This team can't cover anybody. So I think it's a real beautiful evolution of Ohio State football.
I didn't think that we'd be talking about that, but that is the NFL mentality in a very Belichickian philosophy. So it's not a surprise to me that, and we talked about that for the last 8 months, that could be what Matt Patricia would do with the personnel here. But, you know, Brian Hartline also spent a long period of time in the NFL. Ryan Day certainly has a background and spent time, you know, working with Chip Kelly at that level. And
loving the Patriots.
So, you know, It doesn't come as some massive surprise to me that is happening. It's just that it's unusual to see that for a college team.
Yeah. Well, because most teams around the country don't have the collection of talent that Ohio State can amass. And so, I think what you're seeing is a flexibility from the coaches that, you know, one thing that generally happens when you get to this level of success as a coach is that you're pretty stubborn. And I don't know, you know, last year we saw Ryan Day give up the reins to Chip Kelly and we saw how it benefited him. We're seeing now, I think that in that personality, that mindset permeate the entire staff. Like, even I wanted to ask Brian Hartline straight up, dog.
Yo, straight up.
Straight up. Did you ever imagine that you would be a play caller and you'd have more running backs and tight ends catching passes than wide receivers? I mentioned it at the Rooster Show on Monday. Like, that's crazy to me. Brian Hartline, who everyone assumed would come into Ohio State as the play caller and all, just five wide and open everything up. They had more targets more players targeted in the
running. Well, there were 18 targets for Jeremiah.
Yeah, Carnell. That's a lot. I'm saying, but the fact that they were like, we got three running backs, three tight ends, and they, you know, I'm surprised Nate Roberts didn't get a target on Saturday night. But like, there's it's a very interesting coaching staff right now that seems very comfortable being willing to move parts around, and that's not always been the case and has not been the case at Ohio State on defense for years. Even in the Jim Knowles era, the safety-driven defense, which was a decided shift from what it had been prior, there was not a lot of moving parts. Like, you had the guys, and you know that started last year, but it seems like it's really taken off.
Yeah, I mean, and I feel like that has opened up this conversation about Brandon Ennis not having a target, not having a catch on Saturday against Ohio. In the moment, to me, it didn't feel like a big deal. I answered a question of the day at Letterman Row about that on Monday. It came up multiple times for Brian Hartline and Ryan Day on Tuesday. I chalked that up as some of the week-to-week versatility of the game plan. And then there was one design touchdown for Brandon Ennis for sure. There have been other opportunities where he has run free in the first couple weeks and it just hasn't happened. I'm not really of the mindset that there is something wrong with Brandon Ennis right now, but I, you know,
just one football. How do you,
and
I mean, maybe you don't throw it 18 times to Carnell Tate.
Yeah, but then what? Yeah, but then, okay, well, let's pretend open. Like there's a different conversation then. And it went from 15 combined targets for Jeremiah and Carnell to 13 between the two of them to get five for Brandon Ennis and make it even, and just like, then we'd be saying, why aren't you throwing it to Jeremiah more?
Yeah, and we also saw, I mean, it's been 10 years since the 2015 debacle of the offense where they intentionally forced the ball to guys over and over, and we have to get this guy the ball, we have to get this guy the ball. Jeremiah Smith gets 11 targets because Jeremiah Smith is open all the time, so you have to throw it to him. Carnell Tate is open all the time. Now, as a young quarterback, I think it's understandable that you might fixate a little bit on those two guys because they're two first-round picks in the NFL draft. So you are like, hey, why would I throw it to anybody else? But that's just going to come with the evolution of Brandon Ennis. And you know, Brian Hartline asked again about the run game and about his autonomy as the play caller. Like, Brian Hartline wants this offense to be balanced. He wants it to be versatile.
I think he wants to win a national championship.
And he wants to win a national championship because that's going to look well on him if that Buckeyes were able to pull off that repeat. So, Brandon Ennis is, like, the question people should be asking about Brandon Ennis or anybody on this team is, why the hell can't anybody catch a punt? Like, no one asked that today. And, I, you know, it's enhancement week or improvement week or idle week or whatever week. But, like, that's
not a bye week,
though. It's not a bye week. But if there's one area that, like, should really be a concern for people, I think it's still special teams. Like, where are you on special? You know, that's the question people should be asking because, like, you expect Brandon Ennis to be good at that. And he has looked uncomfortable in that role the last couple of weeks. And no one looks comfortable.
They put JJ out there, and even he dropped a punt.
It's wild.
I'm telling you. The position is cursed, and you don't believe me, but it's true.
I just think that there's something that Ohio State has to refocus there, but that's for a different day. But what did you hear from Ryan Day about the guard situation? That was something I know you were interested in. The continued growth of Ethan Anianwa and how that translates to Tegra Shibola's playing time.
I felt like he wasn't ready to commit to either approach moving forward, and I can certainly understand why. And I think I can entertain the idea that they're both going to continue to rotate throughout the year. Ryan Day's reaction to that was that after Tegra went back in the game, he got that chance in the second half that he felt like he played better. The penalties were in the first half. The benching was in the second quarter there. I have felt like both in the Texas game and against Ohio on Saturday that they're, while not perfect, neither one of them, and if you look at the PFF grades for both games, as I did on Sunday and Monday, just for the sake of comparison and getting another set of eyeballs on it, not to just validate what I was seeing, they're pretty close. Like, there's not been a dramatic separation between either one of them, and those are not perfect, and I'm going to take the coaching staff's evaluation and word for it over anybody else. They felt like Tegra went back out there and performed better, so maybe we're not likely to see a dramatic change. But the leash feels like it's getting shorter, and the opportunity is going to exist for Ethan Onyanwa to continue to get opportunities, I think. Now, maybe as you go on the road for the first time, you're not going to want to disrupt that significantly. It's going to be loud. They're going to have to work. You know, Ohio State is preparing already as if they're going to have to go on a silent count in Husky Stadium. So, you know, putting another face out there and establishing a different silent count and continuity with that offensive line, I can imagine why they wouldn't want to do that. But I think it has to continue to be part of the conversation. It's one of the only two or three or four spots on this roster where we can actually, like, look at that and say, this may not be definitively settled.
Yeah, and I'm not the creative guy. I'm not the guy here to tell people how to do things. But maybe in the red zone, if you just put out a sixth offensive lineman and as Ethan Anianwa instead of a fifth tight end.
A million tight ends?
I don't know. Maybe there's ways to get these guys some reps where you can see them on the field together and really focus on the run game, because to me, Ethan Anianwa is a third tackle on a goal line situation makes a lot more sense than some other stuff, but that's neither here nor there.
But that wasn't even the issue on Saturday.
No, it's not. But I think that, to your point, though, that there's been inconsistency with Tegra Shibola last year to this year. It's not like we've seen a tremendous leap in his game from last year to this year. He was the guy that on the sack interception for Julian Sain in the fourth quarter, that was on Tegra. I mean, it's not like it's been perfectly clean, but it's not been perfectly clean for anybody else either. It just happens to be the one spot where there's a guy that you're paying a significant amount of money to.
But also that they've made that change twice in three games.
Right, which Luke Montgomery didn't get pulled because of penalty or anything on Saturday, and we haven't seen it happen to anybody else. So it is interesting that at least the wheels are in motion and the open mind is there for it. But last year, we were regularly, I don't want to say enamored, but we were regularly, like, happy for Chip Kelly, just to see how being back in college changed his perception and his response to his job.
And then he went back to the NFL, and it's just going great.
Well, he's making $6 million to be an offense coordinator for the Raiders, and they don't require offense, so that's pretty cool. Matt Patricia, I really wish we got a chance to talk to him every week, because I think today's press conference, like listening to Ryan Day talk about the quarterback throwing the deep ball, listening to Matt Patricia talk about the different things they can do.
I like shots.
It's really fun to listen to these guys just talk ball, yeah. You know? And that's why I think Brian Hartline gets frustrated when he's asked about things like his ego or like, are you, you know, people basically asking him, Brian, are you allowed to, you know, change your own diaper? Like, it's weird, man. Like, he's a Ohio State offensive coordinator.
He's also a grown man and who's been in the profession now for almost a decade.
Right, so just
it's gone very quickly.
To continue to ask him, like, does Ryan let you do what you want? Like, that is weird. Like, they're all working on the same coaching staff. They're all trying to formulate a game plan. And if you've had one conversation with Brian Hartline, you know if he disagrees with something, he is going to say it. He is not afraid to be vocal about anything. So this idea or this notion that Brian Hartline is some wilting flower and that Ryan Day is just like striking him down every time he speaks up is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but whatever. They had 600 yards last week. They had 600 yards the week before. It's going fairly okay with Brian Hartline as the play caller. And yet people are acting like he's...
I think he deserves and wants a chance to actually talk about football too, because guess what? He knows a lot of it.
Yeah, it's like he's wearing the, you know, those backpacks that people put on their kids that have like the monkey tail that you hold on to the whole time.
Yeah.
Like people are acting like Brian Hartline is, Ryan Day's got him at Disney World. And he's like, oh, no, don't go too far, Brian. Don't go too, like, what are we doing? Treat the guy like a man. Like this is, it's absurd to me.
Felt like maybe that would come up during the stock watch on Wednesday's episode of The Beat, but we got it out of the way right now. Maybe we'll revisit that. On Wednesday on the Austin and Berm show. Who knows? That will be a stock watch. These, though, have been Snap Judgments. The only media availability of the week. So the only episode of Snap Judgments is today.
Today. Buckeyes are back at practice. Practice today, tomorrow, and Thursday. And then they'll be back on the road recruiting-wise Friday. They were on the road on Monday. They are not on the road today, Wednesday, or Thursday because of practice. Just so people are not being confused about, why is Ohio State skipping this opportunity to go on the road? Why don't they want to recruit?
You're fired up today, man. I don't know. I love it.
I just
taking the most of improvement.
Miss America. It's improvement week. We all need to improve.
And we'll try our best to continue to do that. So that's laying all that out. And by the way, we'll have a special Freaky Friday. The mailbag will be back. We're going to be recording that with our friends at Tansky Power Sports in advance, by the way. It won't be Friday morning. We're going to do that on Thursday. They've got a big event, a grand opening going on there. It'll be a mailbag. So hit us up in advance so we can prepare for that. That is the Austin and Berm Show at gmail.com. Send in those mailbag questions for us. We'll get into that throughout the off week. That's the Austin and Berm Show at gmail.com. And he is Berm. And I am Austin. This is our show at Snap Judgments. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you tomorrow.